Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaveryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastama Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so did we finish everything?
Yeah.
All right. So then, any questions on what we've done so far through? Okay. So. Now then we continue with the other rules to be followed. Other rules are that one should not offer foodstuffs which is cooked by the non-Vaishnava. One should not worship the deity before a non-devotee, and one should not engage himself in the worship of the Lord while seeing a non-devotee. Okay, so here in well, before doing the puja, then there is the Purvanga karma. And that is to prepare oneself for the puja. So, now technically it starts with when we take bath in the morning. Now we put tilak on, dressed up, then perform achman, and then preparing the items, we also do manasa puja. That means we are meditating on the Lord. First on Guru, then Gauranga, then on the deity we are going to worship. So, while that's the reason is to get the mind ready for the worship. So, the steady mind, we can fully concentrate on the puja, not as being a ritual, but actually, not that it is our offering through our guru to the Lord. Now, anything which will distract us will be not good. So, now, worshipping the deity in front of a non-devotee will definitely have elements of destruction. Because we will, he may be looking like, oh, what is this? What are they doing? Or, the mood will definitely change. Now, the worship of the Lord should be also understood. It's very intimate, seva. So it should be for the pleasure of the Lord, not what it's for our convenience, but how to please the Lord. So therefore, the puja is always done behind the closed door. Now some senior devotees or some the pujaris who are involved in, they are there, but that's about it. So therefore, then the presence of non-devotee will not be very appreciated. Then anything which is cooked by non-devotee, that while cooking, then the state of consciousness in which the person cooks gets into the food. So Now, even though, well, okay, whatever it's there, then it does affect the mind. So when you have something cooked by a devotee and offered to the Lord, then you don't feel, at least you should not feel, any really discomfort. But if you do eat, which is something which is not offered to the Lord, and the person, it's not a devotee, and the person is very materialistic, these subtle changes, subtle effects, will affect your consciousness. Some may be in more subtle form, some maybe even in gross form. That's why we should not eat anything which is not offered to the Lord, and we should also avoid anything cooked by non-devotee, because then Lord may not want to accept anything, even if we try to offer it. So definitely it should not be standard. As you mentioned before, sometimes we travel. Okay, so then you have to eat something. So you buy something somewhere in the shop. Now, then you may not be able to really offer it. So then beg for forgiveness. This is what I have. I have nothing else. So ask your guru, to take it and then offer it to the Lord, whatever can be done. But it should be in the mood of a humble state, that's what I have, and then I don't have anything else. Should be preferably something which is not grain, so fruits or some sweets. No, because grains do affect the consciousness the most. Yes.
My parents are non-devotees, so when they want to cook for me, up until now I said that it was okay, and as long as it was vegetarian. But now I'm thinking that I might have to stand my ground. But is that? I mean, how exactly important is it?
Well, it is important,
yeah.
But you may also do it such a way not to, say, not affect the relationships too much. Just, I like to cook for myself, and then why don't you cook for them?
No? Yeah, I do that sometimes at work.
Yeah, so like that, then that the relationship still can be intact. It's not that you don't like them, and that's why they don't.
Yeah,
so then just to maintain, so then just cook for them, some nice preparation, something which they would prefer. And just to show them that actually our variety is much greater than what they know. And then see what happens.
My parents, my mother specifically, she likes cooking. It has grown, the relationship has grown, and then we exchange recipes, and then when she's cooking, they're around, and we don't pay as much. We do for Krishna, so it goes on, and it's nice. Today, we're in a nice relationship.
Yeah, when you do that, maintain some standards, have your own pots, don't let anybody taste it, things like that, just maintain it, and again, that's what happens, that's what I have now, so please, Krishna, just accept this, because what Krishna is really interested in, it's not what's being cooked, but it's the bhakti. So, if that's the best you can offer, Krishna will appreciate that. We should not take it as anyway. It's convenient. So then, let them cook, and I can just do something else. No, that's not the purpose. Because when you cook and you offer it, they benefit. But if they cook, it's not being offered, and no, you lose. Yes.
If a non-devotee mother, for example, is cooking and you're the consciousness of trying to please her devotee's son and you are offering it, is there some element of bhakti in it that, you know, in her consciousness that would be able to
feed? Well, it would be, but more like the term of agata security. Because she's not doing it for the Lord, she's doing for the relationship, you know, for the son. So then, the son then, you know, should do everything for just to offer it. So then he must see that it's cooked in clean pots, that it's not tasted. The standards are maintained. And then he can just pray, you know, in his humble mood, and he can offer it to the Lord. But then, better than that, no, would be, say, assist, not being there, and no, cook together, teach the mother, no, how to deal with it, what are the elements, why do we, no, why are we so serious about, say, the cleanliness, the standards, no, that way then. She can also learn something, and if it's properly presented, then generally she appreciates. Of course, it's always easier to teach others than own mother, because in her eyes, it's the son is always the little baby, he doesn't know anything, I have to take care. So that's naturally there. But if you have no arguments towards what you can present, then just at least, no, I like it this way. If you say it like that, then mother always trying to see that the son is happy. So then if he likes it, okay, so then let him do it. There is really no argument which she can take up against, unless that, oh, you don't like me, that's why you don't eat what I cook. He said, no, it's not that, but I like more, this way what I cook. What do you taste? No.
Children are usually attached to biscuits, you know, things which are
Mm-hmm.
Now, we try to avoid as much as we can, but it's accepted inside the bigger community here. I mean, if you just isolate yourself, if you get, it's hard to keep that attitude. So my question would be, how affected are we by things that you cook with machines like biscuits?
It's the effect can be a lot. Also depends on the person. But if you take it for the purpose that okay, you have nothing else to eat, so this is the closest, the cleanest what's available. You take it, but as soon as you have the opportunity, you just go for a prashad. Then no, you probably won't get affected very much. But if you are taking it because no, you like it, you prefer it, instead of eating prashad or anything else, then the effect will be there, a lot. So what is the state of consciousness that will very much depend on how the effect will be? It's a lust which makes you to buy the stuff, or it's hunger which makes you to buy the stuff? What's the consciousness? Yes. So then they will get affected a lot. So for the parents, it's better just to convince them, don't get this, I can make you something better than that. Or we can make chips at home. We can cook some cookies. We can make it. We don't have to buy it in the shop. The children wouldn't mind if it's something nice, something which they can taste nicer, so then they will be happy. You can make gurbaram, and you can just keep it in a jar, and whenever they are a little lusty, hungry, just give him one, and they will be very happy. Gurbaram is excellent preparation. Keeps long time. Huh? Yes. Yes, sir.
I have the experience of my children. They were, especially the younger one, has a touch of sweets and chocolate.
Yeah.
And here, we started making a routine to go to the Mahaprasad and stuff. And he said, no, I don't like it. But now, she was the Rasamala.
See, this is the responsibility of the parents. How to bring up the child. So, if they just do it for their own convenience, so then they will look for the simplest, easiest way how to just get away with it. But then the results will be also like that. Now, the parents who are serious, then they will have to put more effort into it. So, okay, he is hungry, he wants something, I have to cook. Of course, it's more difficult than just going to the shop and buying biscuits. But the result is that he eats prasad. So then he will be more focused, he will be less demanding, and then ultimately he will become better Vaishnava. He will have the habit of eating prasad from the very young age. But it takes effort. It's a lot of effort. But that's what the parents are responsible for, how to do it.
It happened the other day, I learned how to make kajal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were really curious. It took me some time to make those kajal.
Mm-hmm.
But the result was incredible.
Yeah.
Because it came out crispy and nice. Mm-hmm. So they ate the whole pot and then and then I said, okay, that's the way. But it took me quite some time. In the middle, I was thinking, I have an essay to write. Okay,
it might
be
together,
but then I did it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it is. So sometimes it takes the evenings or nights up to do something. But the result, more effort we put into it, then the result is more wonderful. Because when we do it as a sacrifice for somebody, then the relationships deepens. And that's not just between the parents and the children, even among the friends or among anybody. So that's the meaning of what the relationship is. That's a sacrifice. So that's the way. Yes?
On this point of not worshipping the deity before non-devotee, in the West, when you have the Sunday feast, new people come in and they might just be there out of curiosity. And then we're having the arati, and they're watching.
See, arati, arati is not that bad. You can bring a person and then just let him show the arati, but you should prepare. You should prepare the person what it is. But here mainly it's meant the puja itself, the morning puja, the upacharas, when Lord is being baited. So the baiting, especially the baiting of the Lord, that's very intimate moment, and that should not be done in front of non-devotees. So therefore the morning puja is always only among the pujaris. It's not we don't allow even devotees who are not second initiated are not allowed on the altar, and especially when the puja is going on, because it's requires certain standards, clean clothes, the focus of the mind, so it's that's there. So
what are the elements that distinguishes between
arati
and puja?
Well, see, the arati is the Lord is giving darshan, so he is already prepared. So he sees, and then people reciprocate with him. But when he's taking bath, then he's not reciprocating only with the pujari. But if there is somebody who is just going to be watching and seeing, why is the statue in the in the water? Then he will feel very bad. So then the focus will be lost, and then the pujari will feel it. So then he will not be able to fully focus on offering the bath to the Lord the way it should be. So then he gets disturbed, the Lord will be disturbed, so then no, the puja will not go right. Abhishek, again, see, again, this is, no, for the Lord's pleasure. No, it's there and then, no, everybody is there. But the dressing, it's not not public. You see, Lord comes already dressed, prepared for the bath. Then, no, he takes the bath, the Abhishek. Then he gets wrapped in the towels and goes back on the altar. Altar closes and then everything goes behind. No, so it's his mercy. No. When Lord Jagannath is being baited on Sanyatra, so then he's just so merciful, anybody can come. When we have Abhishek's here, so no, any other deity, then it's the pujaris only who bait the deities. Jagannath, anybody can. He's Patita Pavana. No. So that's his mercy. And the Lord's mercy is that he gives the darshan. But there are limits. Lord, he says, no, what's the, no, okay, that's all right, but anything else is not. So then, therefore, the pujaris do take the Lord back, behind the curtain, and then finish there. They dress him over there, not in public. Yeah? Yes? See, the showing of the mirror, no, that's when Lord is just ready giving the darshan. So then it can be done before the curtain opens, but it can also be done so then just to see, so he can actually appreciate himself. It's the element that then when he sees Radharani dressed that way, so then he becomes even more beautiful. And then the same for Radharani, seeing Krishna, just they become more beautiful. So that's the purpose of showing the mirror. So then Lord becomes very pleased, and the beauty increases. The element is that when we dress ourselves, then we want to see if not everything is correctly, and then we step out. But the Lord, he's just giving himself to the devotees. So he has full trust. Now the devotees will put it certain way, how they like it. So he's really not objecting. It's like the queen, she just has the maidservants, and they will put it the way, how she wants it, but she will, may not interfere. Just that's how they see it. So she sees it once in the mirror, but it may not be the way how it looks. They already have the eyes to see how the people will see it. So she will trust rather them, because they are trained already, than even the mirror. So the Lord, he entrusts himself in the hands of the devotees, and so the mirror is not kind of like just to fix something, but rather just to please him even more.
One should begin the worship of the demigod Ganapati, who drives away all impediments in the execution of devotional service.
So, Ganesh is being worshipped, but
no, here, exactly as the element of that he removes all the obstacles. So we don't worship Ganesh in removing all the obstacles so that we can materially, benefit from anything. No, we worship Ganesh to remove the obstacles in the path of devotional service so we can surrender, we can offer the service to the Lord. As in Brahma Samhita, same element. So that's the mood. So we are not asking for some material benefits. Some people may, and they do. They ask Ganesh to remove obstacles and bring a lot of Lakshmi. But that's not our element. We ask for, let there not be obstacles in the path of my devotional service so I can please the Lord. That's the element. Yeah?
Mother mentioned his relation with Ganesh comes from the fact that he's putting his head on Lord Shingadev's feet.
Yes. Yeah. He has those two humps on the head. That's where Nrisimhadev presses his feet. So they are marked. No? So he is great devotee. Yes. Same like see in Vrindavan. No, all the trees are Kalpavriksha trees. Now that means that you can actually go and ask for anything. But in Vrindavan, then the devotees never ask anything for themselves. They could, but never occurs to them. So then whatever they ask from the Kalpavriksha trees, it's for their service, so they can please the Lord. That's the only way how they use the benefit. Otherwise, it's not anything else they consider just unimportant. And it's not based on sentiment, actually, it's based on their ego, the true ego, the servants. The deities should not be bathed in water which has been touched by the nails or fingers. Some fingers are not pure. No, what on the right hand? Well, right hand is more pure than left one, and on the right hand the
what do you call?
This is the ring finger. Yeah, this finger is that's the pure finger. So it's best putting tilak. Anything which you do, then should be done with the ring finger. Middle is also okay, but the index finger it's not good, not used. So like something happens, right? No, you have to take, you see some dust or something floating on the water. And the best is just do it without. But if you need to touch, then you should touch it with the finger, without the nail. So the nail should never go in the water. When you are holding pot, you should never put the fingers inside. You should always find, therefore the pots have such a big spout, so you can always hold it this way. You can hold them like this. It's so many ways how you can catch it without needing to hold them with the fingers inside, and then the danger that the nails will touch the water.
Sometimes you see the couples and it gets stuck, so I should use two fingers.
In the cup? Put in tools.
Mm-hmm. The tools has to be cut. So it gets stuck in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you're putting it, you have to use the fingers, right? But then sometimes it needs to touch.
Yeah, so that's just
No, you just put it and then just no, slide the finger no, around the edge, so then the tulsi stays in and then the finger goes out. If there is no need, no, then shouldn't touch. Same like no baiting. If there is no, you should not touch the Lord with the left hand, and then when you are touching, then just put cloth on the hand, and then you can hold him.
Yeah, sometimes you need to hold it.
Yeah. So you can use a cloth, no, put the Lord, and then just you should not, especially after taking bath, no, then shouldn't use the left hand for touching.
When a devotee is perspiring, he should not engage himself in worshipping the deity.
So some arrangements should be made that when the puja is going on, if it's too hot, some fans should be there, or you know, maybe some AC. Even, I mean, if it's too hot, even for the Lord, should be, you know, the fans should be running you know, all the time. So it depends on the temperature. You know, winter, then you know, should be the wool chadars or some heaters. And for the summer, then should be the fans. It can be somebody's, like in Varshana, they don't have electric fans there. They have the special fan that some one devotee just he pulls, and it's a long I don't know if it's made out of cloth or what's actually made out of, but it's like a you know, small board, or you may say, no, and then just by pulling then it moves up down and creates wind, and then that wasn't like this, so there is no really noise, it's very pleasant, and it engages one devotee in the service. So that's how it can be done without electricity.
Similarly, there are many other prohibitions. For example, one should not cross or step over the flower offered to the deities, nor should one take a vow in the name of God. So one should not step over the flowers offered as a prasad, but also not before they are offered, because they are going to be offered. So again, no, should not be there. So any item which is now being used in any way, then should not be, no, disrespected, because the items actually, they are personalities. They are also in the service of the Lord. So respect no, should be there. Stepping over, that's a sign of disrespect. So, out of respect, then you either, you know, move it aside or pick it up, put it somewhere else, then you walk. You should not be just stepping, you know, on over things whimsically.
Sometimes the world had the habit of not eating vegetables during the class, right? And there was quite a barricade. Sometimes it happens on the side, you just, a little corner you pass over, there's no space, but that should be
a. You mean like, okay, when they do the vegetables?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there is no way how you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you see some arrangements again must be made. That if they do that, then there should be somewhere on the other side where no, they don't obstruct the walking of the devotees. And but if it happens that you have to go there and there is, you can pick up the tray, then no, hold it, no, go where you want to go, and maybe put it back or put it somewhere else. It's just the consciousness that you should not step over. That's the main.
(Clears throat) And yeah, one should not take vow in the name of God, which we mentioned before. So no, one should not promise something to the Lord that he is going to fulfill. Like, okay, from now on, Krishna, I'm going to chant 64 rounds. Now I'm this is my promise to you. Then, well, if you can maintain and then every day you do chant, then okay, that's good. But when you are not in good condition and then you are not going to be chanting, then you are breaking the promise. So therefore, now our promise is 16 rounds daily. That's the minimum. If you chant 64, it's good. But the day you cannot chant 64, then no, still you are not breaking the promise. So that's important, that our vow is 16 rounds a day and then following four godly principles. That's what we promise, that's what we should maintain. Anything else, if you want to, you know, for our own benefit, some way of some austerity or some other, you know, ways how to improve our own personal devotional service, it's there, but it is our personal, and then it should not really be taken as a vow that we are doing it. We are, okay, trying. But as Prabhupada, you know, did mention, that just following the four regulative principles, this is already great austerity. And that is sufficient. We don't have to endeavor for more. These are all different kinds of offenses in the matter of executing devotional service, and one should be careful to avoid them. I mean, if you notice here, then most of these things what we are dealing with is which offenses to avoid. So the direct instructions, they are always shorter. No, there is no many. I mean, it's quite direct. Even no, as a devotee, it's okay. No, you chant 16 rounds. It's direct. But the prohibitions are always more elaborate because there is no the way how to. No, the details must be caught and exactly what actually can happen if we. No, don't follow. So the description of the element of the offenses are always more elaborate because that's individual. So the path of direct devotional service is always simpler. But how we can engage ourselves in the service of not to forget the Lord, then it's going to be always more complex. So what is the result of committing offenses? In the Parama Purana it is stated that even a person whose life is completely sinful will be completely protected by the Lord if he simply surrenders unto him. So it is accepted that one who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes free from all sinful reactions. So that's, anyway, conclusion of all the scriptures, that we want to surrender. Bhagavad Gita starts, this is the best, you surrender unto me. If you cannot do that, then, okay, Krishna gives other options. But the surrender unto the Lord, that's the most important, that's what we want to achieve. So even if we do some other activity, still, we have to, now, work the element that we are trying to surrender unto the Lord. Surrender means what? Surrender means shelter. So we are trying to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's the goal. If we maintain our own false ego, our own false identity, we will not have the need
to take shelter of Krishna. So we have to give up all the attachments. We have to give up all, you know, false identity. Then only we can see how we can connect to the Lord. So that's by the process of sarana bhakti. And the process is faultless. So we should not try to make it better, because it is not possible. The process is faultless. We should try to find how we can fit in the process, how we can understand the process. That's it. And then, no, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna, he promises, he guarantees that one who surrenders unto him, he takes care, he protects. But then, who is Krishna to us? Do we know Krishna? We may feel that, well, we don't know him because of our ignorance. We forgot. So the process of devotional service is about how to remember him, how to develop the relationship which we had before. So we have to establish relationship with somebody who knows him, and that's Guru. So through Guru, then we can come to know Krishna. But we can only come to know Krishna if we get rid of our own attachments. Because if we keep ourselves attached to the material concept of life, then it will be very difficult at the same time to elevate ourselves in devotional service. Rupa Goswami did mention that in the previous chapters. That unless we give the concept of attachment for materialistic life, then one cannot progress in devotional service. And even when a person becomes an offender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he can still be delivered simply by taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. That's the point which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes, Haridas Thakur makes. Just by once chanting the holy name, that the holy name has power that can remove all the sinful reactions of the whole universe. Sinful reactions of a person, which it can remove more than he can commit. But as we discussed before, Krishna, he will not force us to want to not to commit again. He gives us the tool. We can remove the sinful reactions. But we have to, from within our own heart, to decide, I don't want to do it again. Then we can stop that. Yes. Yes, yes.
It's a very subtle thing. So if you're not thinking that, okay, I don't want to have to seeing a film or don't want to do this or that, but in a subtle way, perhaps you're not to recognize that exactly you're not to enjoy, kill your life and try to devotion.
Yes, but for that, the important element is association. Because you see, if you have a good association, you have
relationships, then all these other things become less important. If you have a good friend with whom you can go out and not really have a nice time, it's unlikely that you will choose to watch a movie. But if you have nobody, you are alone, or nobody really wants to be with you, then no, watching movie it's an option. No, just how everybody is so nice, but no, to me everybody is so bad. No, just seeing kind of like it, no, something. So it's the element is how do we relate to others? So once we taste a relationship, true, no, deep relationship, then it's the values will be different than for those who don't know relationship. So when a person grows properly, no, is a loving family, then himself, he has a family, then for that person, no, will be easier to trust. So if he comes across to a bona fide guru who can show him the path, then it will be easier to surrender. And ultimately, then, okay, everybody is like this, the guru who shows me the path to Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme, he must be the best. So then, that way, then it's going to be easier to find shelter at Krishna's lotus feet than for somebody who already from the beginning has no trust. If he has no, some parents or the parents are not dealing properly, they didn't train properly, or just things go wrong, so then he learns kind of like he has to depend on himself. He cannot surrender. He has to no. He's more like of that street boy. No, he just develops the mentality that I have to do everything myself. So and then he becomes hard-hearted. So he will have difficulties to develop relationship, to really maintain or to surrender because of the element. But Krishna can do anything. Krishna can melt the heart of anybody, no matter what. But the element is how much do we want? We may say so. Yeah, okay, I want. But do we mean it? So the external, okay, it's improvement, it's okay, it's good. But this is not the top. To worship Krishna in the mood of never forget him, it's good. It's a start. And Krishna does appreciate it. But we should not think that this is it. To develop the true love and affection for the Lord, we have to always remember him. Mother Yashoda, she doesn't work on the principle, never forget. Krishna is always in her mind. It's nothing else. Everything what she does is because she is remembering the Lord. She's not doing anything for herself. So she is the ideal mother. So when we have a child and then to bring up the child, then we should understand the principle of these elements. Then seeing that it's, okay, I'm the parent and it is my responsibility to bring up the child to make him Krishna conscious. What do I do? What do I have to do? The attachment will be naturally there. But if it comes to, okay, I am very attached and I don't want to part with the child. But if it's better for him to become Krishna conscious and go to Gurukul, I may have to do that. That's my sacrifice. But I don't want to do it. So, then we take the responsibility But why did we choose so? Because we are so attached. So, the washing of the clothes, see, that's when we come, we go through the stages. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti. So, until the Anatta Nivritti, then we are very much affected by the material nature. Because any thought which comes, if the anartha, the seed of the reaction, it's in the heart, then we will start thinking about it. And then it will develop in desire. So we have to really work for to stop that if we don't want to do it. If we don't work hard enough, we will fall down. And then we again go through the process. But if we try to stop it by our intelligence, then what happens is that the desire, it may still stay in, but it will be weaker. But we can even remove the anartha fully. So then next time the thought comes, it will have no effect on us. Because we will not be forced to think about how I'm going to be involved in it. It's I'm not affected. Now, same like Shukadeva Goswami walking naked around the beautiful woman there, but he was not at all affected. Because he didn't have anything to do with it. So he didn't have the anartha to enjoy sex. So the same way, then we have to develop the same mentality. It doesn't not to be affected by the material nature, we have to give up the anarthas. The anarthas can be given up in a moment. The holy name can remove all the anarthas, everything. But not against our will. Yes. There is always a way how anybody can improve. It's never that there is no way how to improve. There is no way how one cannot be more sincere. When once the devotee starts thinking that, okay, now I'm the most sincere, I cannot be more sincere than that, that he's falling already. So there is no question that one cannot be ever more sincere. There is external is one thing, but internally we know what's going on, how much we want to actually do the thing which we say that we want to do. So more sincere means to match also the external and the internal, not just to say what people want to hear, but actually match that also, that we want to do that. Sorry? Yes. Yeah. So it's a step, but we should not think that this is it. We should always become more sincere. Okay, well, tomorrow, then we can discuss more about the holy name. I'll bring another quote, and then we have the offenses. So let's see if we'll finish it tomorrow. But that's very important element again here, how we, for our class.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.